Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Cage Dive Radio with R Shark. Again, I'm your host, R Shark. We're going to be going through a quick rundown of the synopsis of the show for anybody who's new to it. I'm going to be playing a theme each week, picking a selection of songs that match that theme, obviously. But in the meantime, keep an ear open for all of the songs that I play. Go ahead and send me an email at itsourshark@gmail.com or tweet me at itsourshark and let me know your favorite song from the playlist that week. The song with the most votes the following week, I will play another song by that same artist. The theme that we have this week is a very weird one. You're in for an odd episode. There's a weird smattering of music, and it's a pretty strange subject matter. But the theme request that I got was songs that people were murdered to. It's a pretty grisly episode, so I certainly don't want to give anybody the impression that there's really going to be a light tone to this one, but it is somewhat interesting still. Pretty much going to dive right into it without too much build-up or anticipation here. Obviously, we know the theme's going to be. It's going to be a pretty ugly scenario. But I'm going to start out with a song by the Eagles of Death Metal, a band that I played previously on the show. Unfortunately, shortly after I played them on the last episode, of course, not related whatsoever, but they were playing a show in the Bataclan Theater in Paris the evening of November 13th, which the world came to know as the night that Paris came under attack from terrorists. There were several armed men that burst into the theater that the Eagles of Death Metal were playing in, fired randomly into the crowd, as well as firing on those who had fallen to the ground or dove to the ground in order to avoid some of the other machine gun fire. And when the police arrived, of course, they detonated their explosive vests, basically tried to take as much collateral damage with them as possible. All of the members of the Eagle of Death Metal did escape the massacre. They were, initial reports stated that one of the members had been murdered. However, all the members of the band were able to be evacuated without coming any harm to them. However, the merchandising manager for the show, unfortunately, sadly, again, was murdered with the rest of the victims. Obviously, a pretty terrible state of affairs for any kind of situation to come into. I mean, that's a pretty dumb thing to say. It's pretty obvious. Not really too much to go into other than that's the way it played out. Now, the song that they actually were playing was called Kiss the Devil. It sounds like they were about five or six songs into the set. They started playing this song, and then the account from the band anyway sounds like they heard the machine gun fire. It was much louder than the band playing. They heard them, but they couldn't see really well very well what was happening because of the stage lights. So they dove to the ground and then again were able to evacuate without being injured in any way. But obviously a pretty scary situation for everybody. They are eager to get back on tour, played a show with U2, also in Paris, shortly after the initial attacks to try and, you know, honor the memory of their fans that had been killed in the attack. And then also basically offered to donate to charity for any additional covers of a song that they have called I Love You All the Time, off the new CD Zipper Down, which is the same album of the original song that I played a couple of weeks ago. Like I said, not too much more to really say about it. In this case, it's fresh in the news. Everybody is still kind of reeling from the aftermath of that. But without further ado, here is a song, Kiss the Devil by Eagles of Death Metal.
I love the devil, I sing your song.
Okay, so that was Kiss the Devil by the Eagles of Death Metal. Obviously a sad story all around, but especially difficult too because of the vibe of the band. The name, very misleading. Eagles of Death Metal, discussed previously, they are not a death metal band whatsoever. It's really more of an ironic name. They're definitely a good time, feel good party band, kind of a straight driving rock boogie sound. Really not any kind of, you know, sometimes you might think that, especially with a name like that or other death metal bands, Norway or wherever the scene's big, you know, that might have church burnings and things like that and really kind of revel in the imagery of the chaos that surrounds their type of music. Not the case at all with the Eagles of Death Metal. And it's just obviously a shame in every sense of the word that those attacks came to pass. Perpetrators, of course, those pieces of shit, all ended up killing themselves as the police swarmed the theater. And I say that they're a piece of shit. I hear people maybe being like, oh, Arshak, you're going to be rhetorical and really say that you can't, you know, you can only judge these people on these actions. Is it possible that they did anything good? For the purposes of this show, no, you're just a piece of shit. I'm just going to call you a piece of shit. They're all pieces of shit. The next, I mean, everybody really is a piece of shit. I guess maybe it's not fair to say for everything. I don't want to spoil anything as far as the rest of the playlist goes. But, I mean, the majority of people that are going to be inspiring these songs are all going to be pieces of shit. You're a real piece of shit, okay? So those pieces of shit are dead. This next piece of shit, however, is alive, actually. Everybody might recall another terrorist attack. Not in Paris, France, but in Norway. Perpetrator is Anders Behring Breivik. You might remember this fucking nutcase as a dude who is pretty much on the opposite spectrum of terrorist attacks of Paris. This dude is a guy who wanted, he's a total Islamophobe and wants all Muslims out of Norway, as well as wanting to basically eradicate all of Eurabia. Is a fascist. The dude's crazy as hell. Anyway, what he did, for those that may not remember the story, set off a bomb inside of a van in order to try and detract from police resources as he carried out an additional attack on, like, this youth camp, walked around dressed as a police officer. So as these people were panicking in the midst of this attack, they were running up to him thinking that he was the police to help. And of course, he then in return gunned them down and was responsible for 77 murders he was responsible for all told that day. So anyway, this piece of shit is walking around carrying out these heinous acts, and he's got earphones plugged into his head to keep his adrenaline up, to keep him from chickening out and carrying out his mission. He's listening to Lux Aeterna by Clint Mansell, which was popularized, of course, in the movie Requiem for a Dream it was written for. But there's different versions of this song, and this is kind of, I guess, I don't know if it's really a sticking point, but there was a rework of the song that was made to accompany the trailer for Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. And the reason I bring this up in defense of the playlist is because I'm choosing the Clint Mansell version. There is a reworked version for that Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers called Requiem for a Tower. And I'm assuming that it would be clearly stated this kind of piece of shit is, in the sense of being homicidal and insane, not somebody that I am familiar with, but the type of piece of shit that this guy was, as far as playing World of Warcraft in his downtime, training himself via Call of Duty, and stating the fact that he listened to X song in order to pump him up and get his spirits going. This kind of exacting fucking dork is definitely going to specify, I listened to the Lord of the Rings version of that song, and I didn't see that anywhere. So I'm assuming it's the Clint Mansell version, the original from Requiem for a Dream. This guy's a real, real piece of work. So he gets diagnosed with, like, narcissistic disorder, and he's got the balls to complain about the conditions of his prison cell, going as far as to say that the guards monitoring him while he's brushing his teeth are mentally applying pressure to him to hurry up by tapping their feet. That kind of crazy shit. Obviously, it's not something that anybody's really going to be able to relate to or wrap their head around, but this nutcase definitely deserves the life in prison that he's going to be getting. Again, the song is it's from Requiem for a Dream. It's composed by Clint Mansell, and the name of the song is Lux Aeterna, which is Latin for light eternal. And let's hope that this guy never sees the light of day again, right? Anyway, here it is. Thank you. That was Lux Aeterna by Clint Mansell from the movie Requiem for a Dream. Is the show weird yet? Is this an odd enough selection of music? It's about to get a little bit stranger. The next song, now remember, the theme is just songs that people were murdered to. This is going to encapsulate all different forms of murder. They're maybe not necessarily, for instance, these mass murders or terrorist killings that we've addressed so far that will fall into the theme. The next song that I'm going to be playing is a hymn. It's called Bless the Lord, O My Soul. It was sung in the final moments of several prisoners that go by the name of the Bali Nine. There were a bunch of Australian people that were involved in a drug smuggling ring. Now, these nine individuals were actually executed somewhat recently, even though the Australian government and Australian celebrities had been protesting this, hoping that they would be able to get some sort of clemency, given the fact that these individuals had all found Christ while they were in prison. And unfortunately, I don't know enough about it to really weigh in on that and say that I give it one side of the argument versus the other. But the Indonesian government obviously opted to carry out their execution and sentenced them to death. So these nine people, eight of which found Christ while they were incarcerated, were killed via firing squad. The final moments that they shared together, they had an embrace. They sang a few hymns. They sang Amazing Grace. And then they also started to sing Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And this was the song that they were singing as the gunshots were fired that killed them. So they didn't actually get to finish the song all told. But that would be certainly something that qualify as being murdered to. It's a little bit different, especially for the playlist so far in this show, let alone the show. But anyway, keep in mind, if you like this one the best, tweet to me at itsourshark or send me an email at itsourshark@gmail.com. That goes for this or all the rest of the songs. This is just going to be weird, man. This is a weird playlist this week. I am thinking that there's probably not going to be a real clear winner. As far as this goes, we do have the previous requests from boy bands and the Brad Brenning interview coming up later in the show. I don't know. We might need to wipe the slate clean for the new year. Anyway, keep that in mind as you listen to this track. This hymn, again, is called Bless the Lord, O My Soul.
Glory of the Lord.
there you have it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Definitely a very pretty song and a beautiful hymn. It gives me the creeps, man. All these songs really are going to give me the creeps from now on, knowing that somebody was killed to these songs. Believe it or not, it's not that easy to find a number of songs that this would be specifically pointing out to. This song was played at the time of death. I think probably it's either difficult to pin down or the press in general doesn't want to affiliate a musical group or a specific song that people enjoy and interpret in all their own ways and basically assign it to a horrible act of violence. Anyway, pretty gruesome, again, to have 9 people executed via firing squad while they're singing a hymn like that. I'm sure it was definitely a sight to give you chills, but I mean, among other things, that's such a, I don't know how to talk about people getting killed. It's just, it's a fucking weird, it's a weird scenario to be discussing. But anyway, we're going to move right along to the next thing because I sound very uncertain about things. Back to the resolute nature of the show. We're going to go from some people singing a hymnal to somebody who is a, well, not really renowned. That's not the right word. A lot of people considered Ozzy Osbourne in the day to be a Satanist or a devil worshiper, at least in the classical sense of evil. This guy gets caught up in a firestorm. This is going to be familiar for anybody who grew up watching VH1 Behind the Music, because I know I saw this one about 6 trillion times. But on the Ozzy Osbourne episode, they talk about how he recorded a song called Suicide Solution. Now, this is going to count as murder. This is self-murder. Certainly, you kill yourself. I mean, that's a form of murder, at least in my book anyway. So this is a song that got embroiled in a legal battle. The song Suicide Solution, I guess, actually is a little bit point of contention for those who wrote the song. Ozzy Osbourne claims that he wrote it about Bon Scott of AC/DC drinking himself to death, while the songwriter for Ozzy Osbourne, the original name of the Ozzy Osbourne, or just Ozzy Osbourne as a solo artist, was Blizzard of Oz, but it basically got co-opted to Ozzy Osbourne based specifically off of his fame as an individual and a former member of Black Sabbath. Anyway, the argument is that the song was written about him and his alcohol problem. In listening to the lyrics of the song, I mean, it's incredibly easy to determine that this is not a song saying suicide is a solution to your problems. It is clearly saying suicide solution in the form of a mixture, a liquid. Liquor is a suicide solution. You are killing yourself. You are drinking yourself to death. It's not difficult to interpret. But oddly enough, when a fan of Ozzy Osbourne listened to this song while he killed himself, he was a teenager, and of course, especially back in the day in the 80s, easy scapegoat was any type of non-conforming music. I don't know how you'd say it other than really just saying heavy metal. But everybody was like devil worship crazy. People thought everything was a Satanist thing. You're getting brainwashed. There's all kinds of ridiculous theories floating around about there. Judas Priest had a similar thing. And Judas Priest's Rob Halford and Ozzy Osbourne both used the same defense, basically saying, this is absurd. If I had that kind of capability to convince somebody via my song to kill themselves, wouldn't it make more sense for me to say, go buy 10 more of my albums instead? Why would we be encouraging your fan base to kill themselves? That makes no sense. It's stupid because it's a misinterpretation of the song anyway. But it went all the way through the courts. And I remember I should have looked it up. I don't remember the guy's name, but basically the prosecutor in this case claims that there is a point in the song in which Ozzy says, get the gun, shoot, 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 shoot. And I remember from the show, obviously piggybacking off of other people's legwork as far as investigating these things, Ozzy said, you know, I'll be honest with you, there is an effect in the song that could be interpreted as shoot, but I definitely never said get the gun. And it's just so ridiculous. But again, a sad story of a young person who felt like they didn't have an option other than to take their own life. Of course, the rest is kind of history as far as Ozzy Osbourne is concerned. He was found, not accountable for this, which is just a ridiculous claim anyway. But again, the song is called Suicide Solution. We're actually going to follow this up with another metal song shortly thereafter. But Ozzy Osbourne, here he is.
Away tomorrow. Miner's buying the whisk is quicker. Suicide is slow with liquor. Take a bottle, drown your sorrows. Then it floods away tomorrow.
We go. The song's about drinking, man. It's pretty clear. The song is about drinking. I don't know what kind of farce that case really was, but people make that claim all the time, which is just absurd. First, you know, it's video games, it's comic books, it's music, whatever type of popular media they can find to latch this person onto or to explain away something terrible that they did. I mean, obviously, in this case, it's really more of a tragic scenario in the event of a teenager taking their life. You're just a kid, man. You don't even know how long life is. I mean, your 20s are going to feel like an eternity and things are going to turn around. But anyway, to the point that they assigned Marilyn Manson to the Columbine killings, and there's always some media scapegoat saying that if this person had not, you know, put out this type of art form or expressed themselves in this way, then these people wouldn't have done this. It's crazy because you never see that type of association with a positive, right? It doesn't happen. If somebody's, let's say, I should have had an example in my pocket before I pull it out. But anyway, if you've got somebody, let's say, goes down south and builds a church, and then you go ahead and you're going to praise that good deed, and you should. You should do that. That's a wonderful thing to do. But let's say that they're, a Jesse McCartney fan. Does Jesse McCartney get splashed all over the paper saying that Jesse McCartney is the reason that some church got built in Nicaragua? No, of course not. It's absurd. Anyway, we're moving on to the next song here. So that was Suicide Solution by Ozzy Osbourne, which was blamed in the death of a teenager's suicide. The next song is another heavy metal song with definitely a much more sinister story behind it, not so sad as Ozzy Osbourne. This song is called Bodies. It's by Drowning Pool. It's going to be very familiar for anybody in my age group. This song was like a joke in high school. It's a popular metal song, but it's such a ridiculous, like, overwrought lyrics and stupid imagery. Anyways, so the song is actually meant to be an anthem for those in the mosh pit. And there's very, very little to the song lyrically, but primarily what you're going to notice is he says, "Let the bodies hit the floor," about a trillion times. And then he screams, and it's very aggressive. And it was, you know, like I said, kind of more of a joke to me and my friends growing up because it's so over the top. But anyway, the lyrics, of course, have been supposedly misinterpreted. Now, the funny thing about this is the band has gone on record a couple of times, not only in the event of this case, in which a teenager, a 19-year-old, I believe, Josh Cook, killed his parents while listening to this song. Not only that, but Jared Lochner, the perpetrator in the Giffords shooting out in Arizona, that mass shooting as well, they attributed this song to being influential in his forming a decision to go carry out this ridiculous act. And Drowning Pool came out and said, you know, of course we deeply regret any association with our music in this. You know, unfortunately, once you put your artwork out there, it's out for everyone else to interpret. You can't control it. But so they go ahead and they take that stance, but then one of the members of Drowning Pool is informed that the song Bodies is used for, quote, enhanced interrogation during the Iraq conflict. And so this, or Iraq war, whatever. So this guy basically says, it is an honor to find out that our music is being used in enhanced interrogation scenarios, which we all know is torture. It's torture. I'm not you know, saying that there's really, I'm not weighing in on the political side of it, but I am saying that's kind of a strange turn for you to really be like, oh, we're sorry that our music would be interpreted as violent this way, yet you explicitly say that you're honored for it to be used in a horrible scenario of somebody being tortured. Anyway, it's just human dynamic, man. People are crazy. You like this thing, you don't like that thing. It's the same thing. Again, Josh Cook, so he listens to this song after he spends all day, like, he said he shoveled the driveway with his dad in the morning, and he shoveled his neighbor's driveways, then he stayed inside all day long playing video games and watching The Matrix. He listens to this song, puts on his headphones, picks up a shotgun, goes down to the basement, and kills his parents with a shotgun. As he tells it, opens a Coke and waits for the police to come pick him up after he calls in that he's killed his parents. Obviously, again, this is an unhinged individual, and you really shouldn't determine that you're going to go ahead and find a whole lot of sense to be had in the act. But I feel like this one is really pretty borderline. I think you could definitely attribute not necessarily this song as, you know, a driving force behind a murder, but I could see how media speculation would say, oh, well, that's kind of what this band is about. The lyrics are easy to misinterpret, especially in a scenario like this. But anyway, if you're not a fan of metal or ridiculous lyrics anyway, you might want to skip through this one. But for all those who want a little throwback, this is Bodies by Drowning Pool.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
Got to give. Three, something's got to give. Yeah!
was Drowning Pool with Bodies, and we're through part of the tunnel anyway. We're out through the end of the 5-track list that is completed by Our Shark, yours truly. The next two songs are going to be our theme submitter request. And then also, well, I guess it's not really a request, it's an insistence. If you send me a theme idea and I use your theme, you get to pick any song you want to be played on that episode. So keep that in mind while you're sending in your votes for your favorite song on this playlist. I have no idea how this is going to turn out. Also keep in mind, if you send me a theme idea and I use it, I'll tell you, you can pick any song. It can be related to your theme or it can be completely unrelated. I will play it on air that week. Anyway, the next two songs, we've got the request line for the previous 2 weeks. And then we've also got our theme submitter song. Just, again, a weird smattering of music here. Anyway, Bodies is completed. We're going to be moving in next. We're going to take a little break. We're going to lighten it up because we had some pretty heavy songs. And really, like, both, obviously, with the subject matter and the songs themselves. I'm not even really a big fan, honestly, of Suicide Solution or Bodies, but hey, you know, whatever. They fit the theme, and they obviously serve to, rather unfortunately, serve as a soundtrack for the purpose of this show. Anyway, the request line we had was for the previous 2 weeks. We had a special guest interview last week with Brad Branning. Prior to that, we had the boy bands episode. The hands-down victor between the 2 weeks. I even extended the voting period because I kind of had a different change of pace with Brad Branning. Hands down, the most popular song was Space Cowboy by NSYNC, which I was glad. I mean, I was glad to find out. I think NSYNC, of course, is probably the most popular boy band maybe ever. Well, maybe ever, but at least probably for the purposes of that show. Maybe Boys to Men would be close to NSYNC, but NSYNC definitely got the most votes. So we're going to play an NSYNC song. We're going to lighten the mood a little bit before we get to this other song related to songs that people were murdered to. This is a classic. Just forget about, cleanse the palate before we move into the next one. This is Tearing Up My Heart by NSYNC off the album NSYNC.
It's tearing up my heart when I'm with you, but when we are apart, I feel it too. And no matter what I do, I feel the pain with or without you. Hey. Just why we can't be lovers.
Oh, man. Doesn't that one just take you back? Those doe-eyed teenagers, NSYNC, going through heartbreak. Oh, my God, all the teenage melodrama. Certainly a paradox, well, not paradoxical, but it's a stark contrast to the rest of the subject matter for this show. But remember, I'm not going to be too surprised if they end up winning the request line again, and we'd have NSYNC 3 weeks in a row. If you can't stand NSYNC and you don't want to hear another NSYNC song, send votes for one of the other artists or one of the other songs on this episode to make sure that you cushion the blow for next week. But otherwise, we can do NSYNC every time. It doesn't matter to me. So next up is actually, you know, you might be asking, what a weird theme. This is so bizarre. It causes weird music, and you're telling me horrible stories about people's deaths. Why would you do this? Well, the theme request that we had was from a listener named Justin. He submitted the theme and said, well, here's the impetus behind it. Basically, he came across a story. He came across this news article about the My Way killings. So this is a really odd occurrence. But we talked earlier about how Indonesian government decided to go ahead and carry out an execution of 9 people known as the Bali Nine. Well, we're going back to the Pacific. In the Philippines karaoke bars, from the turn of the century to about the end of the first decade, 2000 to 2010, around about 6 people were killed while singing My Way by Frank Sinatra via karaoke bars. Very weird occurrence. They couldn't figure out really exactly what was causing it. Obviously, you're in a karaoke bar, so there's going to be alcohol involved. But sometimes it was because people so resented the rendition of the song that they decided to kill the person singing it. Or it might have been, you know, some kind of altercation that carried its way onto the stage. There wasn't a definitive answer. Anyway, the response that they had in Manila was basically to take the song off of these karaoke bar playlists, and then a lot of people just avoided singing the song in public entirely. Just weird that it would occur that often in a karaoke bar at all, let alone for that specific song. Especially because the song, I mean, obviously it's it's ballsy in its own way, but it's not particularly heavy or aggressive or even really that up-tempo. But anyway, really seemed to piss off a bunch of Filipinos because they would storm the stage and kill people. Now, that is weird enough in itself, and you can see certainly why you'd be like, oh, well, that's weird. What other songs are out there that apparently make people go crazy? Anyway, so these guys out in Japan, this band, I gotta look up the name again, Kishidan, catch wind of this, and so they make a parody video with an up-tempo version of My Way in which the singer of the band gets shot while he's singing the song, which is pretty fucked up. I guess, I mean, trying to make light of that kind of weird mayhem in its own way maybe is funny for shock value, but that's such an odd, why would you court, well, I mean, you court controversy because you want to court controversy, but I'm thinking, okay, so you know people actually get killed doing this. Why would you court one of these crazy Filipinos to come find you and kill you because they didn't like you changed the version of the song? You know that people will kill you for that. Why would you do that? Especially for like it's not like we're talking about, again, for instance, some kind of religious persecution or some political stance. All you're doing is just changing the song. I don't know. Anyway, this is My Way by Frank Sinatra, caused or at least involved in the deaths of at least half a dozen karaoke singers in the Philippines at the turn of the century. So strange. Anyway, go ahead and feel free to sing it out loud. Unless you're listening from the Philippines, then you're probably going to want to turn this one down. Don't put that kind of crazy bad vibes on me. But if you're in the States or anywhere outside the Philippines, turn it up, man. It's Frank Sinatra, Old Blue Eyes.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more. Much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man, what has he got, if not himself, then he has not to say.
Another episode of Cage Dive Radio with Our Shark has come to an end. This was a strange little journey, but look forward next week. We've got a couple of new themes coming down the pipeline. First one up, and I might end up switching these because it's going to be a little time sensitive with the holidays, but the two that we've got coming up, it'll be a surprise as to which one's next. We're going to have songs, unintentional holiday songs. So songs that are not holiday songs, but could be interpreted as such, or might be applicable as holiday songs. That'll be a tricky one as well. The other one's just real straightforward, and it's a great idea. It's make-out slash love-making songs. So we're going to have both of those playlists coming up soon, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. And keep in mind, during those shows, these vote lines are going to be open. Let me know which song on this playlist you like the best. We'll continue to play a song by the same artist the next week. Is NSYNC going to have a hat trick? They might. There are a lot of weird songs on this playlist. I'd be surprised to find that anybody's really going to be voting for Bodies. But hey, you know, there might be a lot of metal fans out there listening. I guess the whole idea of the theme might, maybe it's stereotyping to say that. I would say the theme of the show might draw more heavy metal listeners. I guess that's kind of a shitty thing to say. Anyway, the show has come to its conclusion. Remember to tweet me at itsourshark or email me at itsourshark@gmail.com for those votes and your theme suggestions. If I do use your theme, I will let you pick any song you want to be played in the episode that week. If there are any additional stories that anybody has as far as these songs or any other songs that you think maybe I skipped, send me those too. It'd be nice to get a little more of a dialogue. Let me know if you have any thoughts or insights into the songs that I played or any other songs that you're aware of. Again, at itsourshark on Twitter. Gmail me at itsourshark@gmail.com. Otherwise, thank you again for listening to Cage Dive Radio. Always a pleasure to dive in and get wet. Tune in next week for the surprise theme.